Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning. And just have a little song for, you know, just got on my heart today to play for you before we get started. And, you know, it's just, you know, asking God to be in charge of everything. You know, that God is good all the time, and he loves us. And we just ask, come in and take a seat and just rain on us this morning. And just let his spirit break out today. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning asking your spirit to break out of this place, God, to let your Holy Ghost, Lord God, fill us up. We ask you, Father God, to guide us and lead us in this word, God. Let your word touch someone's heart. Let your word touch someone's mind. Let your word touch someone's spirit today. Holy Spirit, break out in this place. Hallelujah, Father God, rain your glory on us. Rain your glory on us. Give us grace today, God. As we move forward in your word, Lord God, let this word touch someone's heart, someone's mind, someone's spirit, God. that they will ask, what must I do to be saved? And we say, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and all will be well with your soul. Father God, I thank you again. And I lift up this word to you, asking you as I do every day. Father God, increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Father God, are my strength, and you are my Redeemer. And I give this word to you in Jesus' name. Lord God, let your spirit break out. Grace, and I thank God for all of you that are listening. Sometimes you just got to have a moment of praise. You need that praise and that worship to get you going in the morning. I like to say, to get everything moving in your body, to get the blood flowing through your veins. We need God. He is our absolute. God will not leave you nor forsake you. He will find you. Even in your mess, he will find you. Hallelujah. You may not always find what you're looking for, because God has a purpose in it, in the midst of what is lost, knowing that eventually you will find it. You will find what is lost when you give it over to God and say, Lord, your will, not mine. Your will, not mine. Your will, not mine. And when we give it to God like that, everything will eventually fall in place. I'm trusting God for miracles, signs, and wonders in my life. I'm trusting God that it's all going to work out. I'm trusting God. My life will not change. It will be better, but never worse, because I know who's in charge, who is in charge of everything. And it is not me. It is all God. Hallelujah. Not me, but all God. And we have to have that in our spirit. It's not me. It's all God. So, Father God, again, thank you again for this day. You know, we're going to go into our Old Testament chapter that we were not able to finish on Friday. And then we're going to go into our New Testament. We have our Psalms done. We did our Psalms on Friday. And we will do today's word as normal. But I am going to start. God just showed me and told me. I'm going to start in the New Testament, Friday and Saturday's New Testament word, and then we will do our Sunday word as normal. So let's join me in Luke. Luke chapter 16, after the 50th Psalm and our Proverbs. The mighty one, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sin to the going down, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty. God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around him. He shall call to the heavens from above, and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. To go to our Proverbs this morning. Proverbs 14:22, start at verse 22. Do they not go astray who devise evil? But mercy and truth belong to those who devise good. In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. The foolishness of fools is folly. A true witness delivers souls. Hallelujah. But a deceitful witness speaks lies. And we are seeing it every day. Prophet liars popping up. I was at a women's conference yesterday, and one of the speakers made a very poignant comment. It's like every day when you go to the web, it's a new prophet or prophetess or a new deacon or bishop or some high title that someone has given themselves. And you want to say, it's not about the title. It's about the souls that are saved. Not about title. It's about the souls that God needs saved. And his word, titles, and all that stuff, when it means absolutely nothing in the scheme of things. We have got to do what we do. You know, I was Minister Bridget before Pastor Bridget, so I'll be Minister Bridget. And it's fine. Because even Miss Bridget, because I have those babies that knew me when, as they say. And it was such a pleasure on yesterday being with four of my girls from when they were little bitty types, not more than probably 5 or 6 years old. And now they're in their 20s and doing well. One is 26. And I just looked at it and I thought, how amazing. You know, she has gone to Moody Bible Institute. We both have our undergrad at the same alma mater. She's going to Oral Roberts. And her goal in life is to be the chaplain in the Army. And it just makes me want to cry because my husband was an Army veteran. A lieutenant colonel, and I'm thinking he would be so proud. You know, little bitty girl now wants to be a military chaplain. What amazing things. When you pour into your children, watch God work. They're all doing well, and all I could do is just have a teary face looking at my girls and knowing, look at these guys. They have done it. They are doing it. One is in high school, a volleyball champion. My granddaughter had a fashion show yesterday, and one of the outfits, well, both the outfits she made were spectacular. Cute little jumper, corduroy, and made a sweatshirt with her initials on it. And I'm like, what a beautiful thing. And I couldn't do any more than say, you go, little girl, because I was so proud to see young people coming to a women's conference and getting something out of it. Seeing another one of my girls, you know, in college. It's just, it's amazing. And I'm just so very grateful that God allowed me to be there and to see them again. What amazing things. God reminds you, I called you for a purpose. You know, I left with children's ministry for about 10 years to do women's ministry. It was my time for that. But when my season was over, God lifted me. And then And I'm thankful, so thankful. And as we go back to our Proverbs, it says a true witness delivers souls. Souls can be the smallest person to the oldest person. And that is what this is all about. Getting up early in the morning when I can be sleeping in to preach the word of God, because it's important that people hear it. And this is my assignment. This is my time with God, and I'm grateful to share it with you. And it says, in fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a turn one way away, to turn one away from the snares of death. Hallelujah. We got to keep trusting God today. We got to keep believing that everything he does is for a purpose and a reason. And let's get into our word today. You know, in Luke chapter 15, starting at 11, actually starting at verse 1 in Luke chapter 11. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 15. So go with me to Luke chapter 15. You know, I know we read it on probably last Thursday, but God put in my heart to read it again and just move forward. And it says, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he is found? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found that I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Hallelujah. That is our assignment. The Great Commission is me. I've got to go out to save souls. We've got to go out and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it tells us, and then he said, a certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to him his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger man gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. He was living large, in charge, all kind of friends, I'm sure. Those that like to come and suck you dry, they're called parasites. And I'm sure you had those parasite friends, fair weather friends, that when you got, they all up in your face. But when you in need, they can't be found. So let's see what happens. Now he's gone and he's living large. And when he had spent all those arose of severe famine. So he had spent everything. And then a famine came in that land. And he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And understand, he is Jewish. They don't fool with swine. They don't touch him. They don't feed him. They don't go near any pig. And he was out there feeding the pig. Something the least and lowest of anything a young man of his station would do. And he would gladly, and he says this, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swines ate, and no one gave him anything. He didn't have food, barely had clothes and sustenance. After leaving and living large, none of those folks that was his quote-unquote friends were there for him when he was in need. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and a sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his oldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, who killed the fat youth, and he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, but your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Hallelujah. God is after the sinner. We were talking on yesterday at the conference, you know, some ladies and myself, and one of the things we all said, it's going to be amazing to see who is in heaven, because so many folks have so high opinions of themselves that, you know, as they say, they just think they all dead and a bag of chips. But again, none of us are perfect. And all it takes is one sin that you are committing when Jesus comes that can knock you out of your position. And all it takes is one repentant sinner that can put them in your position. So what will happen? Some sinners who repented in the last hour, as the song say, in the ninth season, they repented, and you got caught in sin, and you wind up going down as they went up, and you're feeling like it is not fair. They had everything on this earth, and now they get my position in heaven. That's why we got to live right, and we got to speak on things and ask God to forgive those that sin, so that they will be ready and in position. We want to be in position when the Lord comes, because God will always find us wherever we are. Let's not leave or forsake the lost. Luke 16, chapter. And it says, he also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a sword, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write down 80. So the master commended the unjust servant because he had dealt shrewdly. But for the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He was faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he was unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous manner, who will commit to your trust the true riches? That if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters. Come on now. But either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot serve God and the world. We cannot serve God and money. We cannot serve God and stuff, because everything will be here when we leave. We got to trust, Lord, that wherever we are lost, he will find you. God will never leave you nor forsake you, because that's the kind of father he is. He is a good, good father. That's who he is, and he will not leave you nor forsake you. He will find you, even in your mess. And it says, now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. And my mother likes to say that God knows my heart. God knows every one of our hearts. God knows if we are faking it. God knows if we are truthful. God knows everything about us, and we got to give it over to God. But God is in charge of everything. Hallelujah. And it says here, God knows your hearts. I say it again. And one more time for the Holy Spirit. God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. And we worship them like they are some kind of God. What do you think you're doing? You are committing, idolatry. You are committing idolatry. You are putting someone, something on a pedestal before God. And it says this, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and everyone is pressing into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail. Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced from her husband commits adultery. Wow. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, so it was that the beggar died and was carried to the angels. to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham's son, remember that in your lifetime you received your goods. You received your good things. And likewise Lazarus, evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they are Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. He's like, I ain't got time for your foolishness. You had opportunity while you were living to be kind, and you chose not to be. So, no, understand, where you are is where you are, and where he is where he is. You know, you got to take care of and treat the least among us with respect, because so many times we can be cruel and mean, and that's the thing. Christians are not always the nicest people. Just calling it the truth and the straight of it. You got some really mean Christians. All they want to do is talk about and judge everybody instead of lifting up and loving their neighbor as they love themselves, which is the edit of God, to love him first and foremost and keep his commandments and love each other. That's what God wants from us. We can't be the judge, the jury, and the executioner. And so many times we think, oh, well, I'm saved, so I can judge and I can say, well, this one did this, and this is what they're going to do. They're going to burn in hell. Who are you? You don't know anybody. We don't know who's going to burn in hell. You don't know, because you're not God. And we got to remember that. We are not God. We are his servants. We do his will, but we are not him. In Luke 16 and 8, some life lessons. The sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. Jesus calls us to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, Matthew 10 and 16. But sometimes we are wise as doves and harmless as serpents. Jesus does not call us to turn off our brains, but to engage our hearts. You still got to have some common sense to do what is right in the sight of God. The consequences are being spiritually short-sighted. Does nothing stop the rich man from getting what he wanted while he was on earth? He seemed to possess every creature comfort. On the other hand, there was a beggar named Lazarus who was poor and sickly. He liked even the most base of needs. So it seemed the rich man was blessed and Lazarus was cursed. Everything changed drastically when they both died. In Luke 16, Jesus tells the story of how Lazarus went to heaven while the rich man was condemned to torment. As Lazarus stood with Abraham, they looked across the chasm, and heard the rich man's pleas for a drop of water to cool his burning tongue. However, Abraham replied, between us, you, and there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. The rich man had been spiritually short-sighted in thinking that whatever built bridges for him on earth would do so in heaven. H. Alford wrote, the most dreadful torment of the lost is, in fact, is that which constitutes their state of torment will be their coming to themselves when it's too late for repentance. We don't want to come to ourselves when it's too late to repent. We want to repent now. Lord, forgive me, committed in thought the sins I have committed in words, the sins that I have committed in deed. Lord, forgive me, for I want to be with you. I want to be in your bosom. I want to sit at your feet. We got to speak it into existence. We don't want to leave this earth full of sin and leave this earth with a mess. Come on now. We've got to trust God. Says, do you struggle with unbelief, thinking your earthly resources will save you in heaven? Do not give in to spiritual short-sightedness. Rather, allow God to open your eyes to his wondrous truth. Then you can repent and receive the free gift of salvation. Thank God, salvation is free. It don't cost you anything. Luke 16:10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. Faithfulness in the small things in the day of obscurity qualifies us for the opportunity to serve in greater and more influential ways. Be faithful where God plants you and watch what he does. Luke 16:15. What highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. There is nothing wrong with desiring to be great. The problem arises in how we try to go about it. Human logic says that great must enforce their authority. God says the great must humbly serve. We see so much of this authoritarian attitude in this country. I am the this and I am the that, and it's my way or the highway, and I don't care because I got this and I got that, and I can outspend you, and I can out this and I can out that. And it is what I say, and that is not of God. Luke 16:31, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rises from the dead. Miracles never make anyone believe. Jesus performed all kinds of miracles, including rising another man named Lazarus, not the same man as was in this parable, from the dead, see John 11, and his enemies still crucified. We better trust God. God is telling us something. And the question becomes again, are you listening? Judges chapter 11. It says, then Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, but he was the son of a harlot. And Gilead begot Jephthah. Gilead's wife bore sons, and when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, you shall have no inheritance in our father's house, but you are the son of another woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brothers and dwelt in the land of Tob. And worthless men banded together with Jephthah and went out raiding with him. It came to pass after a time that the people of Ammon made war against Israel. And so it was when the people of Ammon made war against Israel that the elders of Gilead went to get Jephthah from the land of Tob. Then they said to Jephthah, come and be our commander, that we may fight against the people of Ammon. So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, did you not hate me and expel me from my father's house? Why have you come to me now when you are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, that is why we have turned again to you now, that you may go with us and fight against the people of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, if you take me back home to fight against the people of Ammon, and the Lord delivers them to me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, the Lord will be a witness between us if we do not do according to your words. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and commander over them. And Jephthah spoke all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. And we know Mizpah is, may the Lord watch between me and thee, while we are absent one from each other. And he says, now Jephthah sent messengers to the king of the people of Ammon, saying, what do you have against me, that you have come to fight against me and my land? And the king of the people of Ammon answered the messengers of Jephthah, because Israel took away my land when they came up out of Egypt from the Arnon as far as the Jabbok and to the Jordan. Now, therefore, restore these lands peaceably. So Jephthah again sent messengers to the king of the people of Ammon and said to him, thus says Jephthah, Israel did not take away the land of Moab, nor the land of the people of Ammon. But when Israel came up from Egypt, they walked through the wilderness as far as the Red Sea and came to Kadesh. Then Israel sent messengers to the king of Edom, saying, please let me pass through your land. But the king of Edom would not heed. And in their manner they sent to the king of Moab, but he would not consent. So Israel remained in Kadesh, and they went along through the wilderness and bypassed the land of Edom. And the land of Moab came to the east side of the land of Moab and encamped on the other side of the Arnon, but they did not enter the border of Moab, for the Arnon was the border of Moab. Then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, king of Heshbon, and Israel said to him, please let us pass through your land into our place. But Sihon did not trust Israel to pass through his territory. So Sihon gathered all his people together, encamped in Jahaz, and fought against Israel. And the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel, and they defeated them. Thus Israel gained possession of all the land of the Amorites who inhabited that country. They took possession of all that the territory of the Amorites, from the Arnon to the Jabbok, and from the wilderness to the Jordan. And now the Lord God of Israel has dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel. Should you then possess it? Will you not possess whatever Chemosh, your God, gives you to possess? So whatever the Lord our God takes possession before us, we will possess. And now, are you any better than Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever strive against Israel? Did he ever fight against them? While Israel dwelt in Heshbon and its villages and Aroer and its villages and in all the cities along the banks of Arnon, but 300 years they did not. Why did you not recover them within that time? Therefore, I have not sinned against you, but you wronged me by fighting against me. May the Lord, the judge, render judgment this day between the children of Israel and the people of Ammon. However, the king of the people of Ammon did not heed the words which Jephthah said them. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead, Manasseh, and passed through Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead, he advanced toward the people of Ammon. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver the people of Ammon into my hands, then it will be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me, then I return in peace. From the people of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. Now again, when we talked about vows, he didn't have to make that vow. God was already delivering the people of Ammon into his hands. But because he made this vow, he's got to keep it. And we have to be very careful what we make a vow for, because it may be the one thing that we love most. Be careful making vows to God, but advance toward the people of Ammon and to fight against them. And the Lord delivered them into his hands, and he defeated them from Oreb as far as Minit, 20 cities to Abel-Karamim, with a very great slaughter. Thus the people of Ammon was a duty before the children of Israel. When Jephthah came to his house at Mizpah, there was his daughter coming out to meet him with trembles and dancing. And she was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass, when he saw her and he threw his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low. You are among those who trouble me, for I have given my word to the Lord, and I cannot go back on it. So she said to him, my father, if you have given your word to the Lord, do to me according to what has gone out of your mouth, because the Lord has avenged you of your enemies, the people of Ammon. Then she said to her father, let this thing be done for me. Let me alone for 2 months, that I may go and wander on the mountains and bewail my virginity, my friends and I. And so he said, go. And he sent her away for 2 months, and she went with her friends and bewailed her virginity on the mountains. And it was so at the end of 2 months that she returned to her father, and he carried out his vow with her, which she had vowed she knew no man. And it became a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went 4 days each year to lament the daughter of Japheth, the Gileadite. Then the chapter 12 of the book of Judges. Then the men of Ephraim gathered together, crossed over toward Zaphon, and said to Japheth, why did you cross over to fight against the people of Ammon and did not call us to go with you? We will burn your house down on you with fire. Come on now. And Japheth said to them, my people and I were in great struggle with the people of Ammon. And when I called you, you did not deliver me out of their hands. So when I saw that you would not deliver me, I took my life in my hands and crossed over against the people of Ammon. And the Lord delivered them into my hands. Why then have you come up to me this day to fight against me? Now Japheth gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought against Ephraim. And the men of Gilead defeated Ephraim because they said, you Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. And the Gadites seized the fords of the Jordan before the Ephraimites arrived. And when any Ephraimite was saved, they said, let me cross over. The men of Gilead would say to him, are you an Ephraimite? If he said no, then they would say to him, then say Shebalot. The Ephraimites can say Shebalot. And so he said Shebalot, but he could not pronounce it right. And they would take him and kill him on the borders of the Jordan. There fell at the time 42,000 Ephraimites. And Japheth judged Israel 6 years. And Japheth the Gilead died and was married among the cities of Gilead. After him, Ebzan of Bethlehem judged Israel, and he had 30 sons, and he gave away 30 daughters in marriage and brought in 30 daughters from elsewhere for his sons. He judged Israel 7 years, and Ebzan died and was buried in Bethlehem. After him, Elon, the Zebulunite, judged Israel. He judged Israel 10 years, and Elon, the Zebulunite, died and was buried at Eshelon in the country of Zebulun. After him, Abdon, the son of Eel, the Piratonite, judged Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 grandsons who rode on 70 young donkeys. He judged Israel 8 years. Then Abdon, the judge of Hillel, the Piratonite, died and was buried in Piraton in the land of Ephraim in the mountains of the Amalekites. Psalms chapter 50, verses 7 through 15. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goat out of your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle on 1,000 hills, I know all the birds of the mountains. The wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. But the world is mine and all its fullness. I will eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Hallelujah. And our word for this morning is that God will not leave you, nor forsake you. He will find you. God will find us even in our mess. God will find us wherever we are. And if we go to our Proverbs, in a multitude of people is a king's honor, but in lack of people is the downfall of a prince. And as we go to Luke chapter 17, we may go a little bit over our 8 o'clock time to get our word in, but it is so worth it. And I wanted to go back over to Judges chapter 12, verse 3. I took my life in my hands and crossed over against the people of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hands. When in faith and obedience we take our life in our hands to do what God has called us to do, He does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. God takes care of our needs when we obey Him. Are you obeying God this morning? And as we continue in Luke 17, it says, then He said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offense should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone was hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, than if he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, would say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But would he not rather say to him, prepare you something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me until I've eaten and drink, and afterwards you will eat and drink? Did he thank that servant because he did the thing that was commanded him? I think not. So likewise, you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there he met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar, and they lifted up their voices and Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Hallelujah. The least among them was the one that said thank you. The least among us are the ones that say thank you. We got to be the least to say thank you. We got to tell God thank you every day. He woke you up this morning. Say thank you. He got you out of your bed. Say thank you. He got you moving around. Say thank you. He got blood flowing through your veins. Say thank you. In Luke 17:4, if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Jesus is not encouraging irresponsible behavior on the part of the offender, but merciful and gracious behavior on the part of the offended. For even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Colossians 3, we got to forgive people. Can't walk around with that chip on your shoulder forever. Luke 17:5, increase our faith. We do not need more faith to comply with the Lord's instructions, but genuine faith. It's not the amount that matters, but its nature. The almighty power of God can flow through any unobstructed channel. Hallelujah. Are you open to forgive? Forgive us our debtors. We forgive us our debtors. We ask God to forgive our debt of sin, and we got to forgive the debt of sin of others. God is not telling us to be foolish, but to be what? Wise as a serpent. And gentle as a dove and wise as a serpent. We got to know who we belong to. Luke 17:10. We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Jesus does not want us to grow proud over the things he enabled us to accomplish by his Spirit. So Paul writes, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me." 1 Corinthians 9:16. Luke 17:18. "Where there is not any found who return to give glory to God except this foreigner." Sometimes the most unlikely people are the ones who obey God and give him glory. People always accept their praise and frequently use them as an example of a righteous heart. Nobody is more righteous than anybody else. We are all saved by grace. And before we get out of here this morning, God, let us finish all that word thanking God today. And as we go to a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And I'm so sorry if you were not hearing me clearly this morning. Sister Carolyn's word for today is this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that we keep our eyes and minds stayed on you. Father, help us to do whatever is in your will. Amen. And then the word is my word, God. Thank you, Jesus. You know what I need, Lord. Sister Carolyn sent us Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. "Have I not be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And the word that God gave me this morning for our word for today, and I ask you to take it with you. God will not leave you nor forsake you. He will find you wherever you are. God will always find you. Wherever you go, always find you. Why? Because you belong to him, and he loves you more than you can imagine. So thank God today that he has given you another day. He has called you his own. And this is our word as we wrap up. Each holy act, pursue peace with everyone, and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14, NRSV. And it says, "Holy God, as we end with prayer, may the Lord watch between me and thee, while we're absent one from each other, in Jesus' name. I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day by the Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, and watch God work in your life." As we end in this prayer, "Holy God, you are the great peacemaker. Everything you do is sown in kindness and compassion. Your ways are perfect and your character is unmatched. Lord, I want to be just like you, reflecting your goodness to all who look at my life. May I live my life in purity of purpose, walking hand in hand with you down the path of love that leads to your kingdom. When I am tempted to brush off grudges of offense as being justified, remind me that the pursuit of peace is your better way. I don't want to live in the twisted ways of self-righteousness. As I align myself with your character, I find that humility is the key to living a life of your kind of laid-down love that puts others' well-being above its own. What a way to live. Give me grace to be like you, Jesus. It's what I want." What does God's holiness look like in your life? Something to think about as we wrap up this morning. Family, I thank you for listening in. I apologize if it was not as clear. I did try to clear up a little bit, but forgive me if you were not able to hear as clearly. Please join me tomorrow, and we will go forth again, and hopefully it will be a little clearer on the radio and working with not the equipment that they have in the big studios. So please forgive me if you were not able to clearly hear this morning. So I thank you all. Praise God. Have a great and wonderful day. It is a wrap. It's time to go to church. Have a great day. God bless you all. It's a wrap.